All right. So my name is Joseph.
I'm Rob.
And this is You Still Talking About That. So the last time we met, we were talking about Running Man, Arnold Schwarzenegger's Running Man film, which was from 1987
88.
Or 9?
88.
Yeah,
this is where I'm going to pull my computer up.
As you're,
my handheld computer.
Fact checking us with a tricorder. I remember... if you had asked me beforehand, I would have sworn on a Bible or something that the that Running Man came out before the Terminator. I would have sworn that.
Yeah, right?
But the Terminator was like at least 2 or 3 years before Running Man.
Yeah.
And I've looked at clips of...
Way after.
Yeah, and I've looked at clips of Terminator, and Terminator looks like a legit... 87? All right.
Yeah, I guess it came out the same year as Predator.
Okay.
Thought it came out in 88. But this thing, you know, they're telling me it came out in 87. I guess it's not really important, but I guess you could say this is a big turning point in, like, Schwarzenegger's career.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, he was, like, in a lot of really stupid movies, like Commando, which...
Right.
As a kid, I thought it was, like, one of the best scenes.
Oh, it was awesome, yeah.
The part, I don't know if you remember, there's a part where, like, he go... It's, like, towards the end of the movie, and he's, like, in a shack, and there's all these weapons, and he just... finds a way to use all the... They're not really weapons. It's like a buzzsaw.
It's like... Yeah, so it's not like handguns.
No, it's like lawn equipment.
And like a fire extinguisher and a cigarette
lighter. He just takes out like 10 dudes. And me and my brother used to rewind that scene over and over.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Over, rewatch it and just crack up and like... I don't know. There's something wrong with my brother. So...
that was the era of like the angry loner shooting a bunch of people.
Well, I mean, it was also... I mean, that Commando came out in, like, 85.
Right.
It's got young Melissa Milano on it.
And yeah.
And the main bad guy... There's two bad guys. One's Dan Hedaya.
I don't know who that is.
He's... if you ever watched Cheers, she was Carla's... He was Carla's husband. One of Carla's husbands.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And he's been in a ton of other things. He's played Nixon in a movie. It's been a lot of Aliens 4. I mean, the guy, if he... I don't know if he's a lot. Well, regardless, if he shows up...
Like a perennial B-lister.
Yeah. Kind of. Like a character actor.
Oh, yeah.
He's in that, and he's playing, like, a Cuban bad... Or, like, someone from Cuba, so you know he's bad.
Sure, of course.
It's mid-80s, yep. And communism.
Mustache, cigarettes, right.
And then the other bad guy has chainmail on. Like, he's just this fat kind... Well, I would say fat, just like... You got Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's like freaking... This is like close to
he's
his,
built.
Like,
yeah.
He's like just short of being like doing those, being like the, I don't know, winning the title. Mr.
Well, he was like Mr.
I have like old comic books of him. Like, I have old comic books from like the early 70s, late 60s with a young Arnold Schwarzenegger where he was like already like a name and he was like advertising some kind of muscle bullshit.
Well, his first big film, Conan, right?
Well, he's been in some other movies. His first movie is Hercules in New York.
I don't remember that at all.
No, he was overdubbed. He couldn't really talk back
then. Did he still speak like Austrian or?
Well, they overdubbed him.
Huh.
So it didn't even matter. Like it's not Arnold, but he's in the movie.
Right.
And yeah, it's called Hercules in New York. And I think he was in some other movies. I think he was in like a movie with Paul Newman.
No, really?
Yeah, like a weird cowboy movie. He starts popping up in like, Conan, I would say, is probably his first true, like, as like, you know, the star of the show, taken seriously.
Yeah.
Conan, the first one's definitely more in a serious vibe.
Sure.
And then he does like a whole bunch of like movies like in the 80s, like, I'm trying to think, like, these are all like, obviously,
Well, he did, like...
Commando's one, but he did, like, one where he's, like, he teams up with James Belushi, and there's, like...
Twins, right?
No,
that's with Danny DeVito,
Yeah, that's later on.
Right,
that's
right. Like, that's when he's, like, ironic.
That's after Running Man, actually. This is all... I'm talking pre-Running Man.
Yeah.
Well, he just does a lot of, like, they're just very... There's action-oriented, very, like, his characters are one note. The movies are really, they're kind of dumb. I mean, I'm sure everybody's got, like, a soft spot in their heart for these movies.
Sure,
grew up with them, but they're not thoughtful in any way. They're just, like...
Right, right.
He does Terminator, but even the first Terminator, as awesome as it is, it's really just a vehicle to show Arnold is a badass.
Yeah.
And he is the villain of the movie,
actually. You're right. He's not even the star. It's really...
Technically, he's not, but he is. It's the
Sarah Connor. Who played Sarah Connor? It was super famous woman.
Let's call her super famous. They are bringing her back for another Terminator movie.
Right. But he wasn't even the star of the Terminator. He was kind of like a MacGuffin.
Well, I mean, he's
something.
The star because he's on all the promotional art. He's on the box, but he's the bad guy in the movie. And
well, when I was watching, they didn't have Running Man on YouTube, which was terrible. But they had like a bunch of clips.
Did you watch a crappy version of Running
Man.
On
YouTube? No, I watched a bunch of clips of Running Man.
Yeah.
And one of the things that struck me is that he said, "I'll be back." And I was like, oh, is that where that came from?
No.
But it wasn't.
No, he says it in a bunch of movies.
He says it in, like, all
he
his movies.
He said it in Terminator, and then after that, it just... I don't know. He's like, yeah, that's my line. I'm going to use that. And
it's like when Will Smith says, like, I'm getting too old for this shit. No, Will Smith says, hell no. Who says I'm getting too old for this? Is that, like, Morgan? Yeah. Not Morgan. Danny Glover.
Yeah, but that... I mean, that's just, like, a general line. But I'll be back was his catchphrase.
That was his
then
signature.
Then he'd do things like stick around.
Right.
Stick around. And he would just say these things. And
that was the one that stuck, right? Like,
I'll be back is his most famous. I mean, when he ran for governor, he brought Hasta La Vista, baby. And he's always tagline. Yeah, he was governor.
Right. Yes. The governator.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you live in California when he was... That was a long time
yes.
ago.
Yes. He was on the way out, though, thankfully. I wasn't there for... I lived in California from 2009 to 2013.
Right.
I am happy that I was not living there when the recall or
oh,
like
I remember
the
that. Yeah.
Coup.
Yeah.
The Hollywood coup they used because it's
right.
We could go. That's a whole nother podcast.
That was crazy.
It was a total setup.
I remember.
There's like you could watch a documentary about Enron and Schwarzenegger was having meetings with the people of Enron.
I remember the politics I followed, they were telling people in California, like, vote yes on the recall, but no on Bustamante, but yes on, and it made no sense. I was like,
he didn't even technically win the governorship. There was like 100 people running. I mean, Gary Coleman ran.
Oh, I remember
Mary
that.
Mary Carey was like a porn star.
Yep.
Who basically
I remember
was a
that.
Parody of Mariah Carey.
Yes.
Yeah, she ran.
Right.
Huffington Post lady ran.
Yeah, Ariana Huffington, right,
I mean, even the own, like I said, Bustamante, who was deputy governor or whatever they call
him,
he ran. So, I mean, everybody, so the way a recall works, you probably know, is that you have to, like, beat, it's like if the person that is being recalled does not beat his previous, what he won at, then he loses and then it turns into, like, another election.
Right, it's like...
So, to get and I don't know if that's in every state, but in California, so I think like Gray Davis won by like 42% or something like that, or 43.
Right.
He just got really shy of getting that number. It wasn't, and the thing is, so Arnold didn't even have to win in any landslide. Technically, he didn't win.
He just survived.
Well, he was the top of the 100 people running, so it was almost like it ended up becoming a different race altogether. So like Gray Davis had to beat his own number or something like that for the recall to effect. So he didn't. So the recall went into effect. So they screwed themselves. Like that guy Bustamante shouldn't have run.
Right.
I mean,
it's
like
it was a car
shit show. Yeah.
Yeah.
And thankfully, again, I wasn't there when he ran in 2000. I think he ran 2006 for governor. I remember they were thinking of like Warren Beatty was thinking
about.
You know, I think the Democrats at the time, they were just like, you know what, we're not going to throw anybody out there. They're not going to put a big name out there.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many worse Republicans that could have won.
Right, right.
Arnold was a horrible governor.
Yeah.
He did a lot of damage. People forget that. I was living in the state when the eBay lady was running. And Jerry Brown came back.
Right.
For all you dead Kennedy fans.
Right, right, yeah.
Jerry Brown.
we got a bigger problem now. Like,
But he ended up doing a good job.
Yeah.
I mean, despite what... I'm sure there'll be people who say the opposite.
Sure, sure.
But I wasn't there, thankfully. I wasn't living there during the...
The governor's...
Yeah. I mean, he was still there, but he was already checked out. He was already about...
Well, he had retired from... Not retired, but he was not doing films.
He was aging
films.
Out.
Yeah, he was aging out.
No, he wasn't... He was aging out of movies.
Right.
Like, he wasn't... Like, it's not like retiring. It's just like... You know, you got your actors now, like The Rock or something like that, and they star in, like, so many things.
Right.
Arnold comes from an era where he himself was, like, the special effect.
Yeah, that's true.
He's like,
that's true.
Even though like he's in movies that have like the beginning of CGI, like Terminator 2.
Right, right.
Even Predator has CGI. Like when when it's in its like little
camo.
Yeah, I don't know what you call it. Yeah. He was aging out. He just was not. I mean, he just released like maybe one movie a year, get like $25 million for it, and the back end, and that's all you'd have to do.
Yeah.
And actors now, I think they're just smarter now. They star in TV shows. They star in movies. They literally will star in. I mean, The Rock, for example. Like they always compare him to Arnold.
But yeah,
like,
I can see that.
The Rock has never experienced the amount of fan like Arnold was so freaking like that doesn't exist anymore. It does. This does not exist.
Right. Right.
Like, but he, you know, he'll be like a host of a TV show on NBC at the same time. He's releasing a big movie. He's on a TV show on HBO. You know, they get their name out there, and I don't know. Maybe he and his, you know, people think that he's going to run for politics. You know, he probably never has to.
Yeah.
I kind of hope he doesn't. I just don't want to have
him.
I mean,
very
know what celebrities are.
Well, like Schwarzenegger did. Terminator. That was probably his first prestige movie.
I mean, if you look at it at the time, it's still like a schlocky horror movie.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just awesome.
Right.
The designs, you know, James Cameron was the director, and you know, the design of the Terminator is iconic. He's iconic.
It had like a clever story.
Yeah.
And like it didn't screw up the time travel too bad.
Well, it's simple. I mean, and then the big twist is we're going to ruin spoilers, guys. So,
are
you still talking about that? There's going to be spoilers.
Right.
So, this movie came out in 84, guys. So, I think we're okay on this.
Yeah.
It is revealed that Michael Biehn, who comes back, goes back in time to protect Sarah Connor, he's actually the father of John Connor.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
That was a crazy movie.
That was a crazy ending. So, remember Terminator 2 and they had to make an even bigger twist?
Yeah.
That the Terminator going back in time basically created.
Right.
Because they used that technology that they found from the wreckage. I love that they only had one hand.
Right.
There was a lot more stuff. Like, they're like, throw out the rest of the shit. We don't need it. I mean, it was still like, I mean, it got crushed in the compactor, man.
Right.
But in Terminator 2, they just got the hand. And they got the chip from
and
the
they reverse engineered it.
And they were, yeah, but it's just funny because I'm like, the rest of it, they were just like,
yeah, we don't need it.
Nah, let's throw the shit out. Like, this is useless. Like, skull, human, perfect robot human skull from the future, garbage, throw it out.
Yeah.
So point being about Running Man.
Right. Well,
it comes out the same year as Predator. It's just, what's it? It's a tonal shift of Schwarzenegger's career. His movies are getting, like, smarter.
Yeah.
He does this, like, there's, like, a perfect, like, renaissance of his movies. I think it starts with Predator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Terminator came out in 84.
Mm-hmm.
But he still does a bunch of schlock after that.
Right.
But he does, a run of perfect movies. Running Man.
Predator,
obviously. Running Man. Total Recall. Terminator 2.
Yes. Yeah, he was inescapable in the late 80s.
Are we forgetting another movie that's like fits? And let's not say Twins, because...
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. You're talking about like the genre. He had a run of like four or five great genre films.
And they're like incredibly memorable.
Yes, yeah. And they're
Batman Returns. Batman Robin.
He played Mr. Freeze. Yeah, that was terrible.
That was garbage.
That was. I mean, I feel bad because I like Clooney a lot. And I think that they kind of went with like, I don't know. It was a garbage movie, but like I feel bad about saying it's a garbage movie.
What's that?
It
was complete garbage. They know it too.
Batman.
Yeah, I mean, I take it back because he did run it. So here we go. He does Terminator, Conan the Destroyer.
Okay, yeah, Terminator, Conan the Destroyer.
Red Sonja, where he's not playing Conan.
No,
but he's.
He was like
he's basically like they knew that he was the biggest draw. He's like a big part of the movie. But
Red Sonja's part of that franchise, isn't it? I always assumed
kind
that it
of. Was. It's got the wife, Bridget Nielsen.
Yeah,
They try making her a thing. Then he does Commando.
Okay.
Then he does Raw Deal, which I never got into. Then he does Predator.
Right.
Then he does Running Man.
Right.
Then he does that movie I was telling you about with James Belushi, where he is a KGB agent teaming up with James Belushi. It's called Red Heat.
I have no memory of that.
Kindergarten Cop, Total Recall, Terminator 2. So, yeah.
All right,
I guess there's a bunch of crap in between, but he still does these like perfect movies.
Right.
And I'll say it's probably Predator, Running Man, Total Recall, Terminator 2.
Yeah.
After that, starts the dive.
Right, right, right.
And
it's did you see that recent one he was in? It was a zombie movie.
Yeah, it wasn't that good.
The premise sounded fantastic, and then it was a very bad movie.
It was a low budget movie.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like.
It was called, like, Meg or Margaret or...
He just comes from that weird period of film where, like, you know, that Planet Hollywood, remember that?
Yeah. We ate at the Planet Hollywood in Paris.
Sorry, I apologize.
Oh, in Paris. No, yeah. Well, we went to... That's the joke is that, like, we're in Paris. Like, the, you know, the cradle of, like, Western civilization.
Planet Hollywood.
And we went to Planet Hollywood, and I think we were the only people there.
Really?
Yeah, it was when Planet Hollywood still had those owners, but they were, like... trailing down. I haven't lived in New York in like 10 years, but yeah.
They used to like hound you on the street to kind of get you in. I mean, back in the like early 90s when it started, it was the hottest thing. You had to wait
up. Yeah.
And it was like such a big deal, and they had like movie memorabilia. I remember there was like a Chewbacca stat, like a big
life
size. This isn't a New York one.
Okay.
Before they had like 100 of them. I think the first one, I don't know, I could be wrong. Okay. Let's just focus on
The reason we talked about Running Man last week was that Running Man was supposed to take place in 2019, this year. Mm-hmm. And have you watched any of it recently?
No.
Okay. I watched, I'd say, probably a total of 20 minutes of the film, and I think it runs like at an hour and a half. So it's a stretch, but I'm going to claim that I watched a third of the movie. And it is, it's awesome. But it is so completely a product of the 80s.
I mean, it is. But what I like about it in comparison... Okay, so when we started this podcast, we're talking about dystopian future.
Right.
Talking about Akira.
Yes.
Blade Runner.
Right.
And Running Man. They all take place now. Just supposed to take place now.
Right.
Running Man, even though it looks like it's made in the 80s and it looks like a product of the 80s, is the most believable version of the modern day.
Right.
Like, it's the most, like, it almost, like, exists. I mean, it's, like, one of those things, like, people bring up, whenever they talk about our present day, they say, oh, we're living in idiocracy, or this is like the Running Man. I always made a joke, and I said, even when, like, you know, we're gonna get political a second, when Trump was running for president, you know, I made a joke, and I went, I think on my Instagram, my Facebook, and I said, Trump becomes president, which dystopian future will come true? And listed a bunch. I said, I believe it will be Running Man. Running Man seems like such a perfect Donald Trump universe.
Right.
Because it was all, he's a game show host.
Yes.
And it was about a game show. It's reality TV. It's all a big lie. And like desperate people doing things. And, you know, obviously people are dying this game.
Yeah.
No one's actually, but still this desperation and.
Well, what I had forgotten is that a huge element of the film is like the media manipulation. Like they said they had film of this guy doing something, but they didn't. It was doctored film. Yeah. It was like a deep fake, like an 80s deep fake of Arnold Schwarzenegger killing people during a riot.
And he didn't do any of that.
But it never happened.
Right. He was actually breaking the orders of shooting the people.
Right.
He refused to do it. And then he's on the run, they capture him, and then they play the footage, and they put him in the Running Man. And before the Running Man starts, they play this footage that is completely doctored where the people in the cop chopper
were
like telling him not to kill the people, and he's like, I'm going to kill all the people.
I think that was a direct quote from the film.
Yeah, I want to kill all the people. That's perfect, right? It was like, oh, wait. He's in the room, guys.
Right. Well,
it's like perfect impression.
Spot on. But yeah, that was the thing. And the government was in bed with the media.
Man was like in tie with whatever was the government. And it's a total, like, I guess, totalitarian fascist. It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare future. There's obviously huge economic divide, you know, they show him like, you know, there's people living nice lives and they're part of working in the system, but then there's like deep poverty.
Right. And people working like dusty kind of.
My favorite, the one thing though that the movie gets completely wrong.
Yeah.
And this is like later on in the film.
Yeah.
Because there's like the rebel group.
Right. And they had a base within the game zone.
Yeah, and they were trying to break the feed or whatever.
Yes.
And there's this one guy who... He's like a professor. He just sees like the nerd. He's like right. older tech guy, and he says something like he makes a Star Trek reference.
Okay.
And the guy and the younger guy is like, "What?"
Oh, okay.
And I
right.
found that really funny because at the time I was like, you know, I was a kid when I came out. I was 1987, 2019.
Oh yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm gonna be an old man by right. the time 2019 comes. You know, I was like 10 when I came out.
Yeah.
So. Or yeah, I was like right. 10 or 11, I think, when I saw it, and so I would imagine, oh yeah, well, like that guy would not know who Spock is, not knowing that, no, these companies will never let go of a character like Spock. They're gonna regurgitate him for the next 50 years if they can.
And they had even Star Trek had even had like a pretty big resurgence by then. Like they had already gone
right.
From,
right.
Like,
I know, but it's
four.
Just fun.
Yeah.
It's the one misstep of the movie.
Right.
Like, it's the one.
The one.
Well, the one. Well, besides.
Otherwise, it's basically
show,
a documentary.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, it's exactly. Yeah, Jesse Ventura right. is like a. He's got his own workout. Like
yeah,
but he's like, he's like the head. It's actually kind of funny if you watch the movie. There's like some cool, like watch the TV shows they're
right.
playing, and it's almost like Fox News in a way. And,
yeah, it is.
And he's like the Captain America or whatever,
right.
but you know, he's just like a product of the whatever is running the country.
Yeah.
It's like a Sean Hannity with muscles or something.
Right. with a backbone.
And, I wouldn't say backbone, but yeah.
Yeah.
Not a fat pud.
Right.
yeah.
Well, I knew that this was the case, that it was based on a book, a novel.
Yeah, Stephen King.
When he was writing as Richard Bachman. And I read that novel or novella a million. And do you remember how the novel ends?
I didn't read the novel.
So it ends Schwarzenegger, the Schwarzenegger character,
right.
Ben.
I mean, they didn't call him Schwarzenegger.
No, the Schwarzenegger guy.
They're like,
He is in an airplane, and the rules are different in the book. You can travel anywhere in the world. You
okay.
get like $2,000.
So it's not just a studio,
no.
like a giant studio. It's...
I think they did that for budget constraints. You got like
right.
$2,000 a day, and you could travel anywhere in the world, and you had to film yourself twice a day and submit it to the station. And if you didn't, then you forfeited your money.
The movie sounds better.
The movie is much better. But at the end, the Schwarzenegger character drives a plane into the station and kills himself and takes down the satellite radio or whatever
right.
that was broadcast. It was a much bleaker ending.
Yeah.
Because in the movie, he gets to hook up with the girl.
Yeah.
And
then they, like, take over the station, and you're like, I don't know, you're left off with, like, everything's okay now?
Yeah, except for the game show host,
well,
which
he kills him.
Yeah.
It was the
Family Feud
what
guy.
What was his name?
Richard Dawson?
Wasn't he famous for, like, kissing people?
Yes, he was in Hogan's Heroes.
He
was one of Hogan's heroes.
He wasn't a Nazi?
No.
Oh, good.
He was one of...
Good,
yeah, he was,
good on Hogan. Good on him.
he was one of Hogan's heroes. And then...
Was he in the weird porno movies that the guy played
like
Hogan?
No, like Bob Crane.
Yeah, Bob Crane. Did he guest star Nose?
No, but what a crazy story that
yeah,
was.
That's a separate plot.
Yeah, that's like a serial. That's like
a, I don't want to touch that one.
Not without
go
gloves.
Watch the movie with Greg Kinnear movie.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not very good.
It's not very good. It does not live up to the real life premise. But yeah, Richard Dawson was in Hogan's Heroes, and then he was in Family Feud, and he kissed everyone. He kissed all the girls.
Right, I think Saint Live made fun of that years ago.
Right.
Like Bill Murray was playing him.
Right, right. Well, like today it would be grossly inappropriate.
Right.
Back
I think
then,
Richard
it was
Dawson
just
would be
inappropriate.
Me too'd a little bit.
Yeah.
Just a little.
Is he still alive? He's not still alive.
No, I think he's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look,
Richard Dawson. But
yeah,
they put him in a sled and shot him into a wall or something at the
end
of the
film. Well, you know, there's a couple of really awesome quotes. Then I'm going to look for them while we talk. Yeah, you're right. He was in Hogan's Heroes.
Yeah.
He just went from Hogan's Heroes. I mean, he's in something else. He went from Hogan's Hero, Family Feud,
yep.
Running Man. And
yeah.
You know, you think that would have launched him in a couple other movies? No.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything else after that. And he was so good in Running Man. He's awesome in Running
yes,
Man.
Yes, he was really good.
He's
but,
evil as fuck.
Right. But he played... It was weird because he played a game show host, basically,
right.
which he had a lot of experience doing.
Right.
but he was genuinely evil. And looking back on Family Feud now, I'm like,
he was genuinely evil.
That was a little creepy with like all the kissing, but he didn't come across that way. He came across as like a very kind,
fatherly.
He died
in 2012, the age of 70.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, good for him. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a long life.
Not that long. I mean, 79.
79?
Yeah. Sarah Stater, she looked like 100.
Well,
no, I'm kidding. Yeah.
But yeah, okay, so Running Man hit like all the sweet spots for the stuff we were talking about because it's supposed to take place in 2019.
Yeah.
And it's clearly a dystopian future.
Right. And but it's like I said, except for like the killing in the game show, even though they cover it right. up, people don't ever realize that they're getting killed.
Well, yes. Yeah, do you mean the audience?
The audience, they think that the people, I don't know what the, it's kind of confusing. I think they think people actually won.
Right. They think people win.
They would show that doctored footage of people yes. winning, and they would bring their names up. And then later on, the rebellion, when they would take over, they would show what happened to those people.
Right.
And they were just skeletons.
Yeah, they were like in a warehouse.
And they would play the Richard Dawson talking yeah. over, and it's like really creepy. And you just see like burnt bodies.
Right, right.
And they're like, he's in Hawaii. And it's
yeah.
just like,
But that's true. And there's other movies like that. I mean, that's become kind of like a trope now. Like, the winner doesn't really win. Like, it's sold as, like, the person won, but they really got...
This is a great one.
Killed or something.
He's called Ben Butcher of Bakersfield Richards, is what they call him.
Right,
because
yeah.
they accuse him of killing all the people.
Right, in a food riot. They said yeah. he killed
yeah.
people looking for food.
And anyone who, I guess, live in California, I guess Bakersfield's not considered a nice
right.
area, so it's,
yeah.
like, it's easy to... Think
yeah.
that it would be a
villainous,
just a bad area.
Right, right.
They'd be impoverished, but he has a great line where he like, should I do it in the
yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's hear it.
I hope you leave enough room for my fist because I'm going to ram it into your stomach and break your goddamn spine.
That's an elaborate burn. That's like
that's what he says. Yeah, it's a yeah, sick burn, Arnold.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah, he says that like close to the end when he's starting to already defeat a couple of
right,
bad
right.
guys.
Well, I know he said the "I'll be back" line.
Yeah, he says that,
and that
yeah.
was in there.
Because
yeah.
that's like I don't know. I'm sure that Arnold or he's like, I'm going to say this.
Right, right.
Yeah,
yeah. That's by then it was like contractually obligated that he would say "I'll be back."
It was like the part when he stabs, like the lawyer makes him sign a thing, and he's like, he lets him sign his back,
right.
and then Arnold just slams the
oh,
pen
yeah,
into
yeah.
the guy's back, and I was just like, ah! like, and he's like, oh, like it's, he just jammed it right in the guy's spine. Yeah.
yeah.
These movies are violent as hell.
Yeah, they really were.
Yeah, this is like Arnold, like, and again, those movies, though, Predator,
right.
Running Man, Total Recall. Terminator 2.
Right.
Terminator 2 is rated R, I think, but it's not as gory. I will say Running Man, Predator, Total Recall are gory as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I would say they're probably his most goriest movies. Very violent.
Yeah, that's the other thing I noticed about Running Man is that the deaths, you don't really see deaths, but like the supposed deaths are gruesome as hell. Like there's one guy that has basically a chainsaw.
Yep.
And there's another
awesome.
Guy that's like gonna fire you to death.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
with,
I like
with
the opera singer guy who
yeah.
looks like he's on a
right.
musical oh crap.
You're talking about the guy that comes kind of flying in or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, he's like really fat and he's
right,
an opera
right.
singer and he's got like a centaur's helmet with like
yes.
a feather.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Like Ride of the Valkyries
yeah.
kind of coming in
yeah.
with the Wagner music in the background.
Arnold kills him.
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, like, they were all, like, if they had succeeded in killing, it would have been, like, a terribly gory death, you know, like, right? It's not, like, just a, you know, gunshot. I mean, that's, nobody, that
they
would be
all
too,
did,
but.
They killed people violently. The one guy had chainsaws.
Right, and chainsaws.
When he say these chainsaws are part of me,
yeah.
and I'm going to make them part of you. like, it's just really just,
yeah.
like, ah, homoeroticism.
Right, yeah. Well, there's like a lot of that going on in those. Yeah, right?
Just,
like,
very manly films.
Right.
A lot of masculinity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were, yeah. Well, that one, okay, so that was that. And that was Running Man. And that probably is the closest of those. I mean, because like Predator is just sort of like a...
Well, Predator, what's awesome, Predator to me is like a great transition movie. From the mid, like it's 87, so
right.
it's already considered late 80s, it begins like, it almost begins like the movie Commando, where it's just ridiculous. And yes. The guys, they just, his like, they're like hired, they're like literally like hired guns.
Right, they're red shirts from the Enterprise.
Well, no, no, they're like hired guns. They're like, they're a paid army. Like, they're paid to kill people.
Yeah.
And they go call Weatherstone, they go kill, like, I don't know, they take out all this, like, Contras or whatever. I don't know.
Right, right, yeah. Right.
It was Central America. They're not good people.
No.
They're not playing good people. And, you know, they're mercenaries.
Right.
That's the word. And it just starts with, like, ridiculous. They're just killing people. Like, it's exactly like the scene in Commando in the end in the shack.
Yeah.
And that's the first 10 minutes. And then they just start getting, after they realize there was, like, a setup or something.
Right.
I don't know. All of a sudden, they start getting picked up by this, like, creature.
Yeah.
And it just, the movie just changes, and it turns into this, like, it turns into a sci-fi film.
Yeah, it started out as a pretty straight, from the 80s, yeah, Red straight Dawn-ish up action, kinda, yeah.
Cheesy Arnold Schwarzenegger right. movie. And it just changes, it changes him, too. It's like, it becomes, like, deeper.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And, you know, he has to, like, he doesn't have weapons in the end.
Right.
Like, that scene's, like, covered in mud. So,
yeah,
like,
oh, that was
can't
great.
Can't see him. And, yeah, that movie was sick. The makeup on that
it was
sick.
Great.
Yeah, they don't, that character's, like, so iconic. They don't, I mean, it's hard to make something like that now.
Right.
It's already done. So, like,
yeah.
What do you do? And I feel like now, today, a lot of design is just like, I'll just overdo it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll just add more tentacles. And,
well, more tentacles.
Like, it's just harder to come up with an iconic character. You know, when people say, like, why does Hollywood recreate the same thing over and over? I say, right. Okay, go ahead and try to make something
yeah.
new.
Well, there's only so many archetypes, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, Alien and Predator are comparable. You know, they're kind of unknowable.
And they made those movies together, which were
horrible. Right, yeah. I remember they made a Predator where it had, like, Adrian Brody in it or something. Do you remember that?
And it was okay.
It was, I thought it was terrible, but it looked so promising. It had, like, this great cast, and it was, like, a modern...
It was basically just the first Predator movie, but I guess, like, they were on the... I don't know if they were on the Predator planet, but they weren't on Earth. It was, like, a hunting ground.
Right.
And supposedly they made a new one that was not good.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
Oh, it was called The Predator or something, right?
The
like,
brand new one?
Yeah.
Literally, like, almost the same title as the first
right.
one.
Right.
And I heard it's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad. I really was hoping it'd be good. And it was weird because they even got, like, Shane Black, who was in the first Predator.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's, like, he's one of the guys in Predator. Like, he's one of the guys in, like, Cohen.
Right, right.
Cohagen, but that's not what Schwarzenegger's name is. Is his name Dutch?
Gosh.
Yeah, I think his name's Dutch.
That sounds right.
Yeah. He's like part of his crew. He's like the first one to die.
And
like
it was...
He became a film director. And,
oh, yeah.
And he made the new Predator, and I guess he...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right. Well, Predator and Alien, they weren't really dystopian. They were more like... They were like haunted house movies. You know, like
the first ones. And,
yeah.
I mean, well, Alien, the first one's obviously far in the future.
Right.
And the interesting thing about Alien is, like, they're... It's like they're not scientists.
Right. They're that like, was what made it so great. They were just like mining.
They were like blue collar people. And
yeah.
Like, but just happened to, like, they were like truckers.
Yeah.
Yeah. They were just like, they weren't like, none of them on this ship except for the evil android.
Right.
They didn't realize it was it. Yeah.
Yeah. Ash?
I don't remember.
Well, they named them like, they're named sequentially by, I read this like not too long ago, like the first one had an A name, and then the second one was Bishop, had a B, and then there was a C. Like they sequenced them by the alphabet.
One from the those terrible
the
Prometheus movie.
Yeah.
The other one, his name's David. So
well, that would make sense, because that'd be the...
But he's that takes place in the past.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't make sense.
No.
Yeah.
My dad's name's David. I don't think that has any correlation to that.
I just want
to throw that out there.
Little inside
baseball there.
Little Rob trivia.
Yep.
I saw the first Prometheus.
Yeah.
And I thought it was fine.
It's all right.
And then I tried to watch the second
Alien
one.
Alien Covenant. Yeah.
And I couldn't get through it. I saw it on, it was on HBO.
So
and I
boring.
Just, it, right.
The only good scene in that movie
mm-hmm.
is the part when the alien rips out of the back.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, hey, you thought aliens came out of the front?
Right.
Well, in the past, in this movie,
it's
the aliens come
game.
Out of your back. This is totally, we've flipped the script.
Well, yeah. It's because that's the part I got up to. And that's like an hour into this 3 hour long movie.
It's boring.
All they've done is like traipsed around the universe for like an hour. It was...
They basically ignore most of the first movie too. And yeah.
And then a guy comes back and like one of them explodes basically. And the other one gets into like a sealed room and the alien pops out the back. And
I was I don't know. I wanted to like it. I just think the problem is like... Okay, so, like, the first Alien movie is, like you said, it's almost like a haunted house movie.
Right.
It's just Jason in a spaceship.
Yes, yeah.
Michael Myers. It's just a big creature hunting, take him out one by one.
Right.
Aliens is freaking awesome. It's James Cameron. Yes. And it's just, it's, they're, like, marine. It's an action movie.
It hits all it's the buttons crazy. For me.
And then there's the giant alien queen in the end, Sigourney Weaver. Like, it's a full-on action movie. You got little girl Newt. She's like, my name's Newt. And,
right.
for all you Newt fans out there. And then Alien 3 came out, and I don't hate that movie, but I see, like, I remember waiting, like, I saw, my parents took me to see Aliens in 1986 when it came out. I was only 8. I guess when you're the youngest of three children and your parents are like, yeah, we're going to a rated R movie. And they didn't tell me about the chest bursting.
Oh, okay.
So they're
and this was Alien?
Aliens.
Alien, no, the second one. Okay.
Yeah, not Alien. I'm a little...
Well, I my grandfather took me to see Alien when I was in fifth grade. My first R-rated movie. And
Aliens is probably more violent.
Aliens is much more violent, but...
That scene with the... John Hurd's the same?
Yeah.
The one that he gets the chest burster?
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal.
I remember seeing that, and right during that scene, I went into the lobby, and I stayed in the lobby for the entire rest of the film. And my grandfather watched the rest of the film, and he came out. Right, yeah. And he said if he ever wanted to see a movie alone again, he'd take me. It was brutal.
I love that he just left you out there.
Yeah. I was like eating like Jordan almonds or something like in the lobby.
Oh.
I think it was the tension in
Alien. A lot of movie left over after that scene.
I was out there for like an hour.
Yeah.
It was a long time.
Yeah, that's not a short movie.
No.
Well, Aliens, like I said, it's like it's so different. Ooh. And it's like straight, it's just you got all these like again, it's like the guys from Predator or whatever. It's
right.
Like this whole army of people, Bill Paxton, who's like, game over, man.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And you have Bishop, who's you know, Lance Henriksen.
Yep.
And you have like Michael Biehn from Terminator.
And wasn't who was the girl in there that was
Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah, but the other one, the wasn't a famous Latina actress in there?
I forget, and I guess she was in a lot of things, but in this one, she's, like, super butch looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. She's, like, completely badass. Like, James Cameron had this thing for, like...
Right.
Badass women. Right. Yeah, like, he really, like... You know, they always try to talk about now and everything, but, like, he was doing it back in the 80s.
Yeah.
Like, all these, like... And it wasn't... It was just, like, they were in the movie.
Right.
And they were badass. And it wasn't, like... celebrated.
No,
it's
just
it probably should have
been,
but it wasn't. It wasn't marketed or something.
Right.
So it kind of doesn't get like the credit it deserves.
Probably not.
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't get the credit.
It wasn't Michelle Rodriguez, was it?
No. She would have been a child.
Yeah, I guess
I'm just gonna go on my trusty computer here.
It was someone. It was someone like relatively famous that I
would say
heard
she
of.
Was that famous or
no? It's a Michelle Rodriguez type of character.
Well, now she's Latina.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, that's right.
Jeanette Goldstein?
No,
that's her name. I think she probably got married, yes. Private Vasquez. Yeah.
Huh.
Jeanette Goldstein is a true chameleon. She's so effective as an actress, it's nearly impossible to recognize her from role to role. Jeanette spent most of her childhood in Los Angeles. Oh my god, I'm not gonna read
what
this.
Else has she been in?
She's been like.
Is she like a character? Has she been in a bunch of like random stuff?
She was in Near Dark. You ever seen
that movie? Oh, that was great, yeah.
And that's connected because that was James Cameron's wife who made that movie.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And Bill Paxton was in that too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And,
yeah. So
right.
They were probably like, all right, you're in my wife's movie, now you're in my movie. All right, there you go. And we're gonna pay you once. I mean, she's in a bunch of stuff. I wouldn't say she's anybody super famous.
Huh.
But whatever, she's still a badass.
Right. Yeah.
And we're not talking about it, Running Man, are we?
No.
No, but that's fine.
Well, Running Man, like, there's a lot there, but it's kind of a one-note.
Well, it's just, again, it touches on things that are prevalent today, like reality TV.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say if you watch the movie, it would be like if Fox News was literally the only thing on. Like, it was just Fox News. Now, I feel like that sometimes when you go into, like, some places for some reason, like, gas, like, you're waiting for your car to get fixed. They always have Fox News on.
Yeah, they seem
why? I don't get it. Why is that the always the designated channel? Like, yeah. I was waiting for my car to get an oil change the other day. They have Fox News on. Right, regardless. Right. So, it's almost as if, like, the only news network was Fox News. That's the Running Man.
Yeah, right. There's so
there was no other networks or anything, and it was just Fox News. We definitely would have the Running Man by now.
And aside from the people getting killed, it's like super plausible, right?
Well, like, I mean, it's just the whole like, you know, being able to like, you know, they talk about like how they could change audio now. They could change. They could take footage, you know, they've done that famous test footage from years ago. This is like, I mean, this is like 2014 or something. I saw this where they like overdubbed Obama talking, and like, it looked like he said all that stuff.
Yeah,
you're like augmenting reality and like able to like edit, rechange things. So what they did to him in that scene, at the time it seemed very fantastical, where he, and I don't think they don't have that technology to really do that yet.
No, but, like, it's close. Like, you remember when the White House, like, a couple months ago put out that doctored footage of Acosta? Remember the White House?
Yeah, yeah. And, well, that looks so bad.
Yeah, but, like, look, if you have an audience that's kind of primed to believe what you're selling.
Yeah, then that's fine. It doesn't even matter. They're already convinced. You don't even have to show that footage.
Right.
Yeah, all I have to say is all that evil media guy hit that weird intern girl and...
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Miss Grady Hands or whatever.
I don't remember. Yeah.
Did you watch that while you're watching that press conference? Man, that girl was so weird.
They were rough.
She was trying really hard to get that mic from him.
Yeah,
really. This is some intern. Poor intern. She was just like.
Right, but like.
She was silently aggressive. Like, she was like trying so hard to grab that mic out of his hand. And he was just like. And he literally did not touch it.
Like, I watched the doctored video where they took a frame out and sped it up or something.
Yeah, they chopped it and like his hand just like moves real quick out of nowhere. Doesn't. It never happened. It's the stupidest thing ever. The camera was on it the whole time.
Right. Well, everyone saw it live. Was the joke of it? It's like there's plenty of live
normal
footage
of it out there.
Yeah.
So, but again, I guess the difference between now and the Running Man is that okay? So, like I said, Running Man is like society. If literally all we had was Fox News.
Right.
Now we have like a million different points of views.
Yeah.
And that's maybe that's worse.
Right. Right.
Because you got everybody that lives in their own little bubble.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, do you have your fascist dictatorship that, like, literally runs everything and people just see this footage and they believe it because there's nothing else out there? The government's the only one that has access to create this doctored footage. This is in The Running Man.
Yeah.
And now anybody, like...
Anybody could.
We can do that. We have the technology to do it.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, honestly, like, if I had, like... Final Cut Pro and a half hour.
You ever seen bad lip reading?
Yeah, right? Yeah.
On, you know, like, where they just edit things.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it looks really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous, but it...
Right, but, I mean, like, you can see that as being, like, yeah. So, running, of all the ones we've talked, I mean, Akira 2019, clearly we're not anywhere
in cartoon.
Yeah, and it's a cartoon.
Yeah, it's not real.
But we're not in
there's Running Man, that's a movie, so that's not real either.
But the world of Akira, even though it's recognizable, it's not...
I just find the one thing I always thought was kind of funny about Akira was when they talk about the 2020 Olympics.
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Neo Tokyo. And the Olympics is take place in 2020 Tokyo, which I'm really looking forward to. I don't care about the Olympics.
Right.
I'm looking forward to the opening show.
Yeah. I hope they come out on those bikes, you know, like the Akira bikes.
That would be sick.
That would be cool.
And kind of disturbing in some ways.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll recreate a big glob.
Right, right.
And he's like, "Oh, my body." Like, and people will just be like, "What?"
Yeah, right.
And then they screw up and that thing ends up eating everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, I might ruin the Olympics. But I'll watch it because I don't care about the Olympics.
The Olympics are like, I don't know. I always kind of like it when they put the Olympics in a future movie. I don't like the Olympics, but I kind of like the idea
like
that...
I like fictional Olympics in future movies.
Right, it's like a thing. You know, it's like, it's a touchstone. You know, like, oh, that's a recognizable artifact from my time, too.
Do you remember, I was talking to my wife about this the other day. about the Olympics and like growing. I feel like it, same thing with like Arnold. It's like this distant past where it was almost like there was like things were more popular. Like boxing was bigger in the '80s.
Yes.
No, like boxing now, no one cares. No. Like people, no. It's popular, but not that. Right. It's you don't have your Mike Tyson anymore.
No.
But you remember like Mary Lou Retton?
Oh yeah.
And like there were a couple other people, Dorothy Hamill. Yep.
And Nadia Comaneci. She was probably later, but there's a few. Yes.
There's a couple, but like she like. I mean, that she was in movies. She was like a star. Like the whole. I mean, we got Bruce Jenner.
Right.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Caitlyn Jenner.
Right.
Yep.
Or well, previous Bruce.
Right. Yeah.
But like again, a star from the Olympics.
Yeah.
Created literally and generated from being an Olympic hero.
Right.
That doesn't really. I mean, yeah. I guess Michael Phelps was probably the biggest thing for a while. But even then,
right.
it just doesn't. I don't know. It's like it's not like what it used to be. And maybe that's just because there's so much crap out there.
Yeah.
There's well, we so have much a lot media. There's so much, and that's the thing, too. And that's why like something like The Running Man, I don't think could exist. Because they would show that Cohagen footage of him killing him. And then there would be this other group that would be like, no, we got this footage.
This is what happened.
That's doctored. And then some other group would have some footage. And there would be memes. And there would be...
Right. Well, yeah, there would be. It would be hard to pull off a Running Man.
And then there wouldn't even be that big of an audience for it.
You don't think so?
Not if it was 2019 now. No. People don't watch TV.
Yeah. I don't know. You do?
We have a guest star for one second.
I watch TV.
Okay, that's one out of three. There's three of us in here.
Yeah.
I watch TV too, but you know, we're old.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Sorry. No, you're young. You're young. I'm old. Well, 1 year.
Well, do you watch?
Happy birthday.
Do you watch broadcast TV?
I mean, I DVR it.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch commercials.
You know what's funny is I work with an 18-year-old sometimes. I'll like help her with school and everything. And I said I DVR'd something. She had no idea what I meant. It like
DVR
had,
too.
It was like an alien. It was.
I'll still say videotaping.
I'll say TiVo sometimes.
I'll say videotaping though.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Like, I'm gonna videotape it. Like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. You're right. I'll say I'll tape it. But
TiVo is like, what the hell is that? Because that was only like a couple of years, and then the cable companies got smart and started doing DVR.
But you're right. I mean, like, but she had no clue as to what DVR was.
Do you remember when, like, and I feel like now it's even worse. You know, when people would be like, "Oh, I don't watch TV," but then they still watched everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, they still watched everything.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, people watch TV.
Yeah. But they're like, "Oh, I don't watch TV," but it's like, yeah, but they do because you would ask about like Seinfeld and all of a sudden they know everything.
Right.
And they're like, okay, you just don't watch it when it's broadcasted.
Whatever. Yeah.
But yeah, no, The Running Man would not exist today in that aspect because there's no centralized network.
Yeah, it's more of a distribution.
Well, they controlled everything. The network controlled everything. That's why they were trying to crack the network.
Right.
I mean, there really isn't a sole network.
No.
I mean, in theory, of course, you know, we'll open up the can of worms with the loonies and then start talking about globalists and fucking weird. Yeah.
I don't know. I would think that like if you put, let's say we did a Running Man today, I think it would be like a YouTube thing, and I'll bet you people would watch it.
They would watch it, but again, it would not be the only thing they'd be watching.
Right.
See,
that's
the thing. And it's like this is a dystopian future where it's like the government and like the media was owned by the same thing, and that's why I said it. It's like imagine if Fox News was there's no other stations, there's no CNN, there's no MSNBC, there's no CBS. There's no anything. There's no, like, Democracy Now. There's no YouTube.
Because
no...
they used the show to control the population. That was, like, a big part of it.
It satisfied, and then there was, like, a whole underground, like the betting, you know? Like a whole other economy there. And then, it was a way to control the society, but pacify them at the same time. It was, like, modern-day gladiators. future gladiators.
Future day. Yeah, well, like, bread... What do they say? Like bread and circuses. That's what Caesar used to say. It's like as long as you gave the idiots bread and so.
But they weren't giving them bread.
Yeah, right.
They were just giving them the circus.
You got the circus.
Well, there were enough people there, and you could say the same thing about today. There was enough people there that were at least were living a life that was supposedly they had the dream,
right?
Which was like what I think Maria Conchita Alonso's character was.
Yes,
because she's not a good character in the beginning, and no. then she's the one that gets him caught.
She is.
I don't know what I like. I said I didn't see the movie recently. I saw it like a couple years ago.
I tried to find clips of her because remember last time we talked, I said I always thought she was really pretty, and I was like, I wonder if she's as pretty. I wonder if she's as pretty as I thought she was. And so I was like googling clips.
She was in Predator too. Also,
was she in it?
Yep.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I just you know why I think I liked her because she was on David Letterman all the time. She was like a guest. I used to stay up.
Like, I'm assuming David Letterman liked her, though.
Well, he must have, because like back when Letterman was on, like at 12:30, and I'd stay up like in high school and watch.
Oh, I loved Letterman.
Yeah, I'd like watch Letterman.
The letters and all that.
Oh yeah,
he did some real crazy crap.
He was out there.
I mean, it was bizarre. Yes. Yeah, there was some real bizarre. It was not the same once he went to CBS.
No. But when he had the late show on NBC from 12:30 to.
He would do some weird stuff.
Yeah, it was bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like really kind of experimental and out there. And
well, Conan took over that. Conan.
And, right. And and he had this the same type of approach. Yeah. But yeah, he used to have Maria Conchita Alonso on all the time. I'm probably misremembering this, but I'll Google it later.
Sure, it wasn't like eight different...
It could have been like, yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, right? I don't know. I don't
Let's
think
just
so.
Let's pretend that... She was literally on there all the time. He would go, "Hey, Paul, what do you think?" And then he'd turn around and say, "Hey, Maria, what do you think?"
Let's yeah.
just pretend that she was part of the other.
The little loop
guy,
thing.
Al, or his name was.
He
was
Larry Bud Melman.
Well, that guy was like a weird guest, but there was a guy who. African American man.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Al, or. He I don't think he was a cameraman.
I know what you're talking about.
But he was like, I don't know, stationary? Yeah. Like he was a manager or something. He just smiled like he didn't really.
Yeah. He was he with them back on the NBC?
Yeah, he was with them NBC and CBS. Yeah. All
right.
Yeah, it was just like again the recurring. He had those recurring things, and he would. Yeah. He
right. Them. Regis Philbin was another recurring guest.
That was back more, I think, the CBS one.
Was it?
Yeah, I think that's when he's. I don't know.
I don't know. But anyway, back to Running Man. I looked for clips with her in it, and I couldn't find any clips of the Running Man with her in it. I had forgotten she was in Predator, but you're right in the
Predator
Running.
Too.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. Yes, when it was in, like, Los Angeles, right? In
a future for Los Angeles, too. It was, like, a couple of years... It's like they released the movie, like, a year after the L.A. riots. And this was if there was, like, 18 L.A. riots or something.
Yeah.
And it's just...
I remember seeing Predator 2 in the theaters and kind of liking it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was...
Well,
it
that
was
cool
what
ending
was.
Where they connected the aliens with Predator.
Yeah,
with,
you saw
the alien skull.
Right, they kind of retconned a shared universe, right?
Well, like, yeah, it was just one. They had like all these skulls on the wall,
right.
Trophies, and then you
one
see
one of
the
them
alien.
Was clearly an alien head.
Yeah, and we all went.
Right. Yeah. Well, in Running Man, she played a newscaster, right? Was she a newscaster? Or was she just a housewife in a...
No, she was working for, like, whatever government or working for the show. She was not... No, she was part of, like, the system.
I thought she was, like, a newscaster,
I don't... We're really unprepared for this, guys.
Yeah, right. Well, look, the Running Man...
Regardless, she was basically part of the system.
Yeah.
And then she gets linked or something happens and they end up throwing her into the game,
right.
too.
Well, she realizes that the film of... Schwarzenegger was doctored.
Okay.
Or through some means, she finds out, like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
He was telling the truth.
Yep.
We've been selling this lie. So she was kind of like.
And then to reward her, they threw in a game.
Right. And And then she won with Schwarzenegger, and they kind of.
And they you know, they're going to get it all.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Although they don't show that in any. Well, there's no Running Man sequels.
No.
It should have been.
No, I don't think I would have been. No,
Running Man.
No,
that's
Running Man.
The sequel.
Yeah.
Like
I'm glad they didn't make another Running Man movie. I feel like that's good. I'm glad they left it off there and they never did another one.
Right. Yeah.
I think the one thing I liked about the Running Man too is, like I said, that this was like in 2003 when the Iraq War started.
Right.
There was a DVD, the first like real DVD release. The creator or director, whatever, like as he worked on a documentary, but. It got rejected or something, and he talked about media manipulation,
because
it was media manipulation. This is like fresh after 9/11, and it was like and this almost was, I would say this was closer to the Running Man now, then, than it is now, because they, even though you had different networks, they all like were just in collusion of starting this Iraq war.
Yes. Yeah.
They all were pushing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And he was like, he wanted to put a documentary on the DVD release that basically like just talked about media manipulation,
right,
which is what Running Man was, truly what it was about. The true horror
of right,
not knowing what's real and being able to create a narrative.
Well, that's really scary. And that was also in the Philip K. Dick one. The one on Mars. We just talked about it.
Total Recall.
Yeah, Total Recall. Yeah. You couldn't tell what was real and what was not real. That was a little more
head-tripping. That one's further into the future.
Yeah.
That one, like, see, that's the thing about, like, when we're talking about, like, this dystopian future
right, right.
in 2019, it's like, I feel like, you know, except for Running Man, all these other ones are just so fantastical. And I'm glad that Total Recall is, like, just really far off in the future. I don't even know if they even tell you what year it's supposed to take place. And that's fine.
Right.
It's, like, it makes you, like, it takes you away. Like, you're, like, you don't have to worry about it. Because you'll be dead before you even get to it.
Right. Unless, you don't have to, like, look for logical inconsistencies.
It's never good. Yeah. Even though you shouldn't, because it's a massive...
His eyes would never pop out like that in space. Yeah, so well, like,
that seems so awesome.
How could they fit back in his head?
Right. Like, oh, let me put my eyes back in.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yeah. The air's back. I could just.
Right. Right. Right.
Like, no, they'd be like permanently damaged.
Yeah.
They'd be like, they would have like permanent nerve damage.
Something
like,
terrible.
It's like the bends or something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That seems disgusting.
It was rough. Yeah. I remember seeing that in the same theater I saw Running Man, South Point, which like was a dollar theater in Fort Myers. And we used to sneak beer in and like drink beers while we were watching movies. And I remember getting like pretty lit during that movie and just not being able to make heads or tails of what was going on.
Total Recall?
Yeah, Total Recall. Okay. And I had to go see it again because like I was not able to follow. I mean, it was a trippy movie anyway, but like I was ill prepared to handle. I thought it was going to be like Predator. Like I was going to watch Arnold shoot people. But I wasn't.
Well, he does.
Oh, yeah. But I wasn't suspecting like trying to figure out if he's like really a construction worker or if like the dude with the third arm is really a good guy or a bad guy.
He didn't have a third arm. He had he had a...
Like a praying mantis arm.
He had a weird hand. Yeah, he took off the fake hand and
yeah.
all of a sudden he had like these like...
Right.
Like, really long, bizarre fingers.
Yeah, okay.
And then there's that Quado thing.
Yeah. So that was a little over my head at that in that evening.
What's the guy's name who... the director...
Of that
RoboCop,
it wasn't Verhoeven, was it?
Yeah,
Okay.
Yeah, he has like his own little like trinity of awesome movies.
Right.
It's RoboCop.
Well, who did he do? Starship Troopers.
He did that.
Okay. Too. Yeah.
So it's those three movies.
Right.
And they're just like, to me, they're like amazing.
Yes.
They tried remaking RoboCop, fail.
Right.
They tried remaking Total Recall. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I did not see it, but that was like just 2-3 years ago, right?
Longer than that.
Total Recall?
Colin Farrell was in it.
Oh, okay.
I think the movie was more of the kind of closer to the book, maybe.
Okay, right.
Where like...
The book was called We Can Remember It For You Wholesale.
Well, I don't think... They don't go to Mars in this version. Like... It's like there's one side of the planet that's like unlivable, and there's like another side of the planet that's like where all the rich people are, and people take like this elevator shaft all the way. They literally go through the core, and it's like it's almost like they're going through two different planets,
right?
Because there's this massive divide. Like all the workers go through this, right. And it wasn't good.
Yeah,
Bryan Cranston's a great actor, he's wasting it. Well, he's playing like the...
The villain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who was the villain in RoboCop.
Well, they remade RoboCop too, right?
That was bad.
I didn't see the remake of that
They
either.
Just... The problem is with these remakes is like they don't make a movie. They try... Okay. They try to make like franchises now. So like in RoboCop, they were like... It almost felt like, okay, well, we're remaking the first movie, but we're really just setting up a franchise.
Right. We're going to float this out there and see what happens. And if
it just sucked. And you could totally tell they were trying to make it into a franchise.
Well.
They like, Yeah, it was pretty bad.
A lot of those great dystopian movies, it's like, I think the author or the director or whatever has something to say, and it's usually pretty political, and they have one clear thing to say, and then that's kind of it.
But I mean, people miss it, which is weird.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I always love when, like, I do a lot of art on, like, Instagram and stuff, and I do a lot of, like, political art, and people get mad at me, and they'll say, like, when you focus on art, and not on politics, and I'll just be like, watch Star Wars?
Right, yeah.
You ever watch RoboCop? Like, I'm sure all these dorks like, that are saying that, a lot of these people who are, like, into video games, into, it's like, you've, like, just... You just saw the boom boom and like the monsters and you just missed the whole story.
Oh, it's crazy, yeah. I just read a book where like a lot of these singers will have like, you know, protest rock and roll music, and then like these far right conservative politicians will say, well, I love Rage Against the Machine.
Right.
Like Paul Ryan.
Yeah, that was a big one.
Right.
And but there were a lot of douchebags that like Rage Against the Machine.
True, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a bad example.
I remember
example.
That. All the douchebags love Rage Against the
Machine. That's true.
And he is definitely king of the douchebags.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, you don't have to do a lot of heavy lifting to figure out that Rage Against the Machine is like a pretty far left kind of...
Did you... Yeah,
yeah
far,
I mean...
Like, they're like out... They're like beyond left.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see... this was in the news recently. I'm probably more local. Nine Inch Nails played. We live in the Dallas area.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the DFW area.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeah. Nine Inch Nails was playing here recently.
Right, with Jesus and Mary Chain.
And Ted Cruz wanted backstage passes.
Oh, are you serious?
Yeah, this was after the election. He contacted him and he wanted backstage passes.
Really?
I guess he got them before. And this time Trent Reznor was like, fuck no. And he supposedly like turned on the lights or something during the show.
Wow.
This is what I read. This is like the recent show he played here. I think they played in Irving or something.
Yeah, it was not that long ago. I think it was at Toyota Music Factory.
And he called out and said that Ted Cruz wanted to get backstage tickets, and he said he was an asshole and that he drank all his beer last time. It was something really funny. Like... Yeah, it was pretty awesome to hear Trent Reznor like
badmouth like, Ted Cruz.
Well, he's like, I'm not gonna give you bags. Fuck you. Like,
yeah. Well, it's crazy. Like, why would like? Yeah, I guess you're right about the Rage Against the Machine. They had kind of a bro rock moment.
Well,
you know?
I mean, it's
not,
any
not
anything
fault.
That just
yeah.
becomes mainstream just right. becomes. I mean, even Marilyn Manson.
Sure.
I mean, I remember going to Lollapalooza in 93.
Okay.
So this is maybe the
that
third.
That was probably the second or third one.
Yeah. Okay. And like. This was when, like, moshing, they called it, you know, it was called slam dancing and pogoing. Moshing was the term in the 90s.
Sure.
And it just got so out of hand. I remember the Breeders was on. And
oh,
people
okay.
were killing each other. I was like, this is the Breeders. I'm like, how is this?
Right.
This isn't, like, the right music for that. They were people like, it was like hell.
Yeah.
Like, people, kids, you don't know. You know, listen, I may not have grew up in, I didn't go to Vietnam, but I saw Pantera in the Roseland.
With the dime bag?
And I lived. I seen some shit, okay?
Well, I saw the first Lollapalooza, and I remember...
Did they kill you?
Did you
bring your steel toe boots?
But I'll tell you, it was in Orlando, like in a muddy fairground, Susie and the Banshees was one of the acts.
Oh, I would go insaner
now. Oh, they were like, I remember this real kind of poignant melodic song. People were just crushing each other. It was terrible. I mean, it was, and it's something. Let me see.
You want to pause it a second? What do you got in there?
Ooh.
All right. Yeah, let's stop it a second.
So there was a lot with Schwarzenegger, like late 80s. That's when he was, you said he was transitioning.
Well, okay, so like we're saying, like Running Man represents like the changing of like the series, like his movies become a little more serious.
Yeah.
He does some comedies, he does like Twins.
Twins and Kindergarten Cop.
Yeah, he does those. But Running Man and Predator, like that's the big transitional year. Now, I always thought, like I said, Running Man came out in 88, I guess it came out in 87.
I would have sworn it came out earlier. I would have sworn it came out in like 82 or 83.
I'm just amazed. I really didn't realize that it came out so many years before, you know, Total Recall.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is you think about now, like, you know, when like if you say something like 2016, it feels like yesterday to you.
Right.
But when you were younger,
oh yeah,
1985 or 1988 mm-hmm. were like worlds apart. Like I think we were
right,
like,
yeah.
society was, technology, everything was just like, and maybe it's just because you were younger and like time just is different.
That's when probably you're a kid. Part of it. Yeah, like, probably to me, part of it.
I met my wife in 2001, and I still think like. Of things
right.
from 2001, 2002, and I forget, like, oh my God, that's 20 fucking years ago.
Yeah, it's a long, well, yeah, like, a year when you're 10 years old is, like, 10% of your life.
Like, when I look, I'm a big, like, comic nerd and yeah, stuff yeah. like that, and I look at, like, old comic books when I was a kid.
Right.
When I was a kid, like, the main comics was, like, what got me into was, like, Secret Wars, and it was, like, all the okay. mid-80s Marvel stuff and the right. DC stuff. And it just had a very, like, it looked like that time period and everything. But then I would look at comics when I was a kid at the store that were 20 years old. And they looked old as
yeah,
fuck.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, I've been reading comics. I still read comics. I look at comics from 20 years ago. They don't look much different than they do 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The style, the paper, the technology. It's almost
it hit
like,
a plateau, yeah.
It's not, I mean, it's still like the coloring's better, the paper's better. I mean, honestly, they shouldn't even. It's. I know a lot of people just read them digitally.
Yeah.
I like the tangibility.
Right. Have you read them on Comixology or anything like that?
No. I just like my little. They call them floppies now, which I think is
hysterical. Oh, really?
Yeah, that's they call funny. Them floppies, which is, but you shouldn't flop them. They'll ruin it. Ruin the value.
Well,
it's gonna be worth $1 million one day.
Yeah, I don't know. I've done both. I have a bunch of like physical comic books.
I drank that beer weird.
I have a bunch of physical comic books.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
I have a bunch of Comixology books. I've bought, like, if I'm not really, like, super sold on whether or not I'm going to be into something, yeah. I'll buy it on Comixology and flip through it digitally. And then if I like it a lot, then I'll buy the physical.
I can't read it digitally. I feel like I'm not reading a comic at that point.
I'd
rather watch a cartoon than watch a movie then.
It is much different. I'll say that, like... It's noticeably not as good.
Well, it's just there's something about the paper and like, and you know, yeah, you take them to the toilet, of course.
Well, and also, but also like with Comixology, and I like I'm a defender of Comixology, I guess, but like
you. We're not getting paid by them.
No.
You know. But maybe one day.
Hey, yeah, that'd be cool. I will be a more ardent defender of them.
And I will too. I love you, Comixology.
But like with a physical comic book, like, you can see where the panel is, and, like, then you can kind of look ahead, and, like, if there's a big panel...
Do they have ads in them?
No, not the ones I've gotten.
Okay.
But the ones I've gotten have, like, a technology where you basically look at it panel by panel.
I feel like... Well, I read comics now, and I feel like when I was a kid, and even a couple years ago, too, ads was, like, a bigger deal.
Yeah.
And now they're not... They're, like, hardly in there now. They're barely in there.
It's funny you say that, because...
They used to... Tons of ads.
Right.
And I used to
Sea Monkeys.
I mean, that's... You're
Sea
Monkeys. That's a long... Okay, that's a very long time ago. I'm talking about, like, even 5 years ago, they were like a car ad or something.
Oh,
like,
okay, yeah.
Like, I mean... Yeah, you're talking, like, seven... Or, like I said, when Arnold Schwarzenegger was in an ad, I had, like, an old Avengers comic book.
Right.
From, like, the early...
He's selling, like a bodybuilding
like 1969.
Thing.
Like I said, that's how long... Yeah. I mean, he's an old man. He does... This is... He's almost, like... He might be close to 70, so like
it's
he's
true.
Been around for a long time. So now we're back to Arnold.
Well, we're gonna wrap up on Arnold eventually, but like, yeah. So they don't do ads in comics anymore.
They do, but I feel like most of them are house ads now.
Oh.
They just focus on like
other properties,
other
within,
stuff
yeah.
that they're selling. Yeah, like at least the Marvel books. DC has like these weird ads they do,
right.
which are horrible. So you ever see those Snickers commercials?
Yeah.
The ones where it's like, you're not acting like yourself.
Right, right.
Like, it'll be like a rapper. Like, it'll be Elton John, and then like...
But then he's Snoop Dogg for a minute, and then he's back to Elton John. Yeah.
No, because he had his Snickers.
Right.
He wasn't an old British homosexual or something anymore. And I don't know what the messaging is.
Right,
that,
it's a little obscure.
But they had Aretha Franklin was once years ago.
Yeah,
she's gone
right.
now. She's dead.
God bless her soul.
Yeah, she did squeeze out a Snickers ad before that, so good for her. More for the estate.
Right.
So, they don't really, it's not, because I don't think the money is there anymore. And
right.
a lot of comics now, like, that I buy, I should be buying more indie books. I'm terrible, I guess. They come with codes anyway to download the digital copy, which is fine because I don't ever do it. I should, I guess. Then I can just burn all the...
I don't know.
My wife would love that. I just burned them all.
Well, I must have a stack of, like, in, like, good shape, you know, boxed and boarded and all that, of, like, I don't know, probably, like, 100 or so books from just the last few years, you know? And I don't know. I do like a physical comic book. I don't recall any ads. But if I'm going to buy physical comic books now, I'm more likely to buy the trade paperback, you know?
They're not going to put ads in those.
No. They should. I would wait till, like, 5 or 6 episodes come out, issues come out, and get that. Just because, like, I don't know, I remember, what was the one we talked about, Midtown Comics?
Yeah.
I ordered a bunch from there, and then I'd, like, miss an issue, and I'd have to go, it was just very, it was time-consuming
to keep up. There's some good stores out in this area.
Yeah. Well, there are. I mean, like, comic books are, like, they've had, like, a renaissance, where they're more, like,
gathering. Well, it's almost like vinyl.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, the funny thing is about, you know, I remember 20 years ago, they were saying, like, offices and stuff, they're like, oh, we're not gonna use paper anymore.
Right.
And I think I don't work in the office anymore. I'm an independent artist, but, like, I will say that as time goes on, it's definitely, like, my last job from, like, when I started there until, like, 2013 and when I left in, like, last year, we were, like, printing out so many books and then it turned to, like, 2 books and then we'd have, like, a digital display.
Yeah.
And I think it's, but, I mean, they were saying this in, like, 1999, that, oh, we're going to be phasing out paper. And, boy, were they wrong. I mean,
that's real true.
But now with, like, the TVs, like, displays, the flat monitors and everything, maybe, paper will be. But like I said, with comic books, it's like, to me, it's like vinyl. You're going to have those people that buy, like, they want the vinyl.
Yeah.
And they'll probably still download the code and, like,
Put
it on there. I don't personally like buying digital music. And I heard, if you buy something from, like, Amazon or something, you don't even own it.
No.
You're paying for a license. So, like, if Amazon fucks up something and pisses off, like, a record label or something, they could pull it, and then all of a sudden, it's like the thing you paid $15 for.
It's, yeah.
You don't own it.
It's weird. You're right. Like, that. I remember I was in school, like, in when I was in college, I took a course where they talked about why cassette tapes cost so much. Like, blank. Remember back in the day, you'd buy, like, cassette tapes.
Yeah, you just stuck a piece of paper and tape it.
Tape the little tab over.
Yeah.
The reason cassette tapes cost, they were like three, you'd get 3 for $10 back in the day, which was a ton of money. I mean, it was pretty cost prohibitive to buy tapes.
Yeah, I remember.
That part of that was the settlement of a lawsuit. You were basically purchasing a license to tape music.
Because they knew that people
were taping. They knew that's all you would be doing, is you'd be taping music.
And
so then, like,
CDs, it's funny, I think it took a couple of years for people to catch up.
Right.
Like CD burners, like, that wasn't right away.
No.
I mean, I'm sure the technology was there, but it was very expensive. But then it became the point where every computer came with, like, CD burners.
Well, yeah. Like, I must have, in the upstairs room up there, I must have, no lie, like, 300 or 400 physical CDs, compact discs of music.
Yeah.
Rare, obscure stuff. Stuff I bought off of eBay for, like, you know, a lot of money.
Okay.
And I could just ask my streaming music player to play any of it right now.
Right.
It'd be there for free.
I mean, it's like... There's something to be said about when I was in high school going out to... I was living in Long Island, and we would take the train, go out to New York City, and go into, like, all these, like, areas in the village.
Right.
Go to these, like, underground stores, literally, where you have to walk underground.
And
get those bootlegs and get those, like, rare imports.
Right.
We'd spend, like, whatever money we could get. Maybe, like, $100 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'd grab a bite to eat. But if we have money left over, because we just want to buy CDs. And that you would hunt for it. And there was something about the hunt.
Yeah.
And now, like, any asshole can, like... I remember talking to somebody about, like, the MC5. And, when I found out about them, I mean, it was many years after the MC5 was already around.
Sure.
It was many years, but...
After they had done kicked them out.
It was a very long time by the time I figured out who they were. But the reality is, like, I was talking to a guy, and he literally, all he'd do was just Google it, and then he downloaded, like, 10 songs, and I was just like, fuck you. I had to go to here, I had to go there to get it. And maybe, there's something to it. It's like it meant more.
Right.
It's like, I feel like, you know, I sound like an old man and be like, oh, kids today, Oh, it's kids.
Right. Yeah.
They're not going to know what it means to go look for going to a shitty neighborhood and pay $40 for a crappy bootleg.
Well, that might not work. I remember going into like rough neighborhoods or sketchy areas and like hunting down like an REM bootleg or,
and
you know, like
you ended up going into like slavery for a while for that, because that, right? You
crazy.
Got
it wasn't, no, not because
that REM bootleg, no, it wasn't. Oh, that's rather than me.
No, but those
REM. Damn you, REM.
Yeah, I had one, and it was, I mean, I remember it was like the prime joy of my vinyl collection. Yeah. It had all these obscure, and then like, I don't know, probably about a year ago, just on a whim, I Googled it. It's all, anybody can get
anyway,
it. I mean, it's
my wife has an Amazon Music account, and you can literally pull up that.
Or even if you just have an internet connection and a web browser, you can like.
Most of this music's on YouTube.
Yeah.
You can just watch, you have the video playing, you don't even have to watch the video and just listen to the music. Like that's a lot crazy. Of you can do find karaoke songs on YouTube and it's like
that. This is truly the darkest timeline.
Yeah, for the music industry.
All right, so we got to wrap it up because we're coming up on the end of the tape.
What are we at?
We are at hour 25.
Ew.
So probably, I mean, the tape will probably cut in 4 minutes.
Oh,
so we're gonna get together. Next, we're gonna go back to Back to the Future, right?
That was I mean, I still wanted to talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger, but I guess they don't really have time to talk about.
I don't know if we have time on this one. Let me see. It's gonna cut. It's gonna cut out.
We'll never know that.
We'll never know. Well, we can come back to him because
we'll find a proper place to come back to Schwarzenegger.
Right.
Running Man. Well, post Running Man Schwarzenegger.
I think it's weird for me. I can't separate the, what was the kid's name back to Marty McFly?
Yeah.
It's hard for me to separate Marty McFly from Alex P. Keaton. And Alex P. Keaton was kind of the precursor.
Or you mean Michael J. Fox?
Well, I mean Alex P. Keaton. Like the Family Ties, the arch-conservative, like.
Well, that was the, what was it, like, they were hippies.
Yeah. And
NPR then Mallory
people.
Was an idiot.
Right.
And the daughter. Tina, I know her name was Tina.
Tina
Yothers
was the real.
But I don't know her name as a character.
Gosh, yeah.
What do I know?
And Mallory, then, Alex, and PJ.
And then there was like Skippy.
Yes.
Who was like Marty's dumbass. Like he was like the Milhouse of the show.
He was.
Literally was Milhouse was based on Skippy.
Really? Is that true? Is that,
no.
But yeah.
But pretty much is what he is. He's Cockroach from Cosby Show. He's just the friend. He's just the lamp.
Tina Yothers was
Stinky.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Boner,
yeah, from
Growing Pains.
Right, yeah.
Michael Seaver's friend Boner, and his other friend Clitoris, which was weird. They cut him out.
Was
in
very,
one
yeah.
episode.
He was like in the pilot.
He was in the pilot. He didn't make it past the pilot stage. Clitoris.
the pinheads down at corporate are like, we want to talk to you about.
Damn pinheads.
We want to talk to you about the character Clitoris.
What if we call him Clint? That's not better.
Clint. No, that's kind of business.
Where you're just. No, we're just going to remove
him. Yeah, we're just. He's not going to work. Yeah. He's good. Yeah, so, okay. So, but for me, it's hard to separate, like, Michael J. Fox from Alex Keaton. From Marty McFly. And I think, like, the Alex Keaton was kind of, like, the precursor to that Reagan... Because Schwarzenegger traded off of that Reagan, like, Morning in America. You know, that
optimistic...
Well,
he was a Republican.
Yeah.
He's now... Current Schwarzenegger is interesting. He hates the... Does not get along with the current president.
It's crazy. Well...
I don't know if he... I don't think he's anything anymore. I think he's, like... He's so... He's actually kind of awesome now. He does these, like, a lot of these YouTube things
now.
He talks, and he seems very, almost like an independent now.
Yeah, he's freed himself.
He seems burnt out from it, and he hates Trump. He's like...
Right. Well, I think...
But he still was a terrible governor.
Yeah, right. Well, I think if Reagan were alive today, the first thing he would do is say, get me out of this body!
If he was alive today, he'd say, baby, because he is a fucking vegetable.
Disinter me! But the... Then he would say is that he doesn't recognize like the modern conservative.
Well, I mean,
he was a pretty, from today's viewpoint, he was a pretty liberal guy. He was a very arch conservative, terrible person. But today, he doesn't even look too bad today.
let's not get so nostalgic. Yeah, you know, I say the same thing. Like, people get nostalgic about George W. Bush when it comes to Trump. They're mixing politeness and George W. Bush was not polite. Like,
right.
He was a very, like I said when I was talking about, like, I don't know if we were discussing this. Was this taped? And I said about how Running Man and, like, almost like it's more in common with 2003 New America than it is 2018.
Oh, yeah, I don't know
America.
If we were running tape, but that is
so,
you're right.
Like, George W. Bush to me was like when the Iraq War was ginning up and they were using 9/11. Like, no, that was like the most, like, that was borderline totalitarianism.
Yeah.
Like,
that was really,
you could, and they weren't questioning him, they couldn't say anything to him. It was like 9/11, like, as fucked up as it is, was like a gift for him.
Right.
I mean, he was a lame duck president when he was elected, when he stole, like, technically stole the election. Like,
well,
he didn't win in 2000. The Supreme Court elected him.
Yeah.
And for
and
that
then,
day,
and
he
then
was
said,
a lame
oh,
duck.
And by the way, no precedent. But yeah.
What?
And by the way, no precedent. You know, they found in his favor, and then they specifically said, oh, and our findings here, we don't want to be bound by in the future. Because they knew how, like, fucked up it was. That was their finding.
And he was pretty much like a lame duck president. And 9/11 happened, and they used it again in Iraq War. And all the media worked together. And that's what I said. Like, you know, our modern day, where we are in 2019, with the year 2019 Running Man is...
Right.
We have so many distractions. Is this still going?
Yeah.
What do we got left? What do we got left?
Well, I'm looking. I think we have... Oh, we got like 3 minutes left.
Oh, wow. We get so much out there. How are you getting the whole history?
There's a lot to cover.
Okay. So, like I said, the one thing about The Running Man is like a central network that's playing this broadcast.
Right.
And it's the only thing it was on. And it was like a fascist,
right,
corporate, whatever it was, the state. Wasn't a lot of rights. And, like, you know, you had Jesse DiBaddio, who was like Mr. America, like, patriotic character, like, he was like the spokesman, kind of.
And
if you watch that, that's like in the background. It's running on the TVs in the background, and he's like, but he's like an out shape wrestler at this point.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool. They like put him in the outfit, like, they're like, he's like, oh, I want to go out there and fight him. Like, he already was like retired, like, he wasn't really like ready to fight.
He was like Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, that was the line, right? It started Running Man. But I would say that, like, and that's why in the DVD release of Running Man, like, at the time, that director wanted to put that, because that was probably closer.
All
the media was, like, pushing us through the Iraq War.
Right.
Now, everything's just, like, everyone lives in their own little bubble.
Yeah.
Like, people just, they don't have to, like, a Running Man couldn't exist today. I mean, it could exist today, probably because no one would be paying attention to it.
Right.
You'd have, like, a core group of fans, and it could be, like, 20 million people. But then there'd be another 20 million people watching something else.
Right, watching,
another 20
like,
million
yeah.
people watching something else.
Temptation
another
Island.
10 million. Yeah, Temptation Island. Would that... That was like on Fox. Like,
it's coming back.
Why?
Because.
Okay, but again, it's like... There's fans for everything. It's like streaming networks. You know, Disney's doing their own streaming. Everyone's doing their own streaming. Network TV isn't even going to exist in a couple of years.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
CBS
true.
CBS All Access. You guys get your CBS
All Access. I have CBS All Access. For the new Star Trek.
Is it good?
The new Star Trek or CBS All Access?
Well, I mean, it's the same thing, I guess. Is it good?
No, the new Star Trek's great. It's really good. It's very trippy. I mean, it's like a different kind of Trek.
I like the Orville because it's basically just a complete ripoff.
Yes.
It's like Family Guy and Star Trek were put together.
Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Did you see the Black Mirror SS...
That one was so good.
Right, that was
the
fantastic.
Star Trek episode.
Yes.
Well, their take on it, but it was like a computer.
Yeah,
like he was the head of like a programming company.
Right,
and he was like trapping clones.
Yes,
my
wife who hates genre fiction, she loved it. I mean,
that was really good.
Yeah,
that was an amazing episode.
I heard they're making a follow up to that.
To
that episode, and I don't remember if I heard that it's going to be a potential series or if it's going to be a follow-up episode.
Well, what I liked about it was that, like, okay, they freed themselves from the guy.
Yep.
He got trapped in a ship.
Yes.
So he was technically dead, I guess, in the
real world.
Well,
he was going to be there. He was just there forever, alone in a ship.
Yeah, and I guess in real world, he was dead.
Yes.
And then they themselves were not the real people. They were clones.
Right.
But they felt like they were their own people. They
yes.
didn't know that they were... separate from reality.
Right, because they
and then they end up like confronting internet trolls in the end or something.
Yeah,
that's well, so funny.
It was very meta. I mean, there's a lot of layers there, but yeah, I think the clones realized they were clones, and then they escaped into a new part of the game where they could just be free.
They ended up being part of like the internet or something.
Yeah,
but they were like exploring the galaxy.
Right.
So they weren't like.
Yeah.
They got to live their lives, but even though they weren't really themselves.
Right.
And
but then, like, I think that was the thing, is, like, what makes someone real or right. not, right? Like,
right.
You know, I mean, if you're conscious and you have feelings, and then you're real, right?
Right.
I mean, that's like.
Yeah, who you judge?
Right, exactly.
Some internet clone.
Right. I mean.
Something.
Well, it's true. I mean, like, you think about it, I guess that's kind
I really
of,
like that
a little, yeah.
Too. That was definitely, like, the highlight of that season.
Absolutely, yeah. Some of those Black Mirrors, I like them all.
You know they're getting sued?
The Choose Your Own Adventure guys?
Yeah, this is the second time, and Netflix really needs to
vet their stuff.
Yeah, like Sabrina, they got sued by the Church of Satan?
Yeah, well, and they won. The Church of Satan won.
Well, because I was shocked to learn that, like, they didn't ask permission.
Yeah,
that statue is used in the
right.
It's like part of the center of the school, and if they just
we're good.
And if they left the little kids out on the side, they probably would never gotten sued.
Right,
but they put the kids next to it. It's not an exact replica of the statue, but it's enough to be like, oh yeah, like, and they knew what they were doing. They knew that some people watching the show were going to recognize it and be like, oh yeah, I saw that on the news.
Well, I don't know. I think, like, with some stuff, like, I don't know. I have a lot of mixed feelings about all that. Like, a lot of those shows, they got to move quickly to kind of keep up some momentum. And I think they play fast.
And they're not double-checking.
Right.
And when you do that, you're trying to chug stuff out fast.
You screw up. And I feel bad.
That extra minute to.
Yeah, because I don't think it was like a malicious or.
No,
but
I
like
don't think
you also
so.
Have to be. I don't know. That's a complicated kind of.
I'm sure they're going to be a little smarter about it.
Yeah.
But I'm shocked about the Choose Your Own Adventure thing. And I guess I didn't know that
How
concept.
Is that a
was...
copyrightable concept? Like.
I mean, it makes. No, it.
Yeah.
I mean, you could copyright something that. I mean, Nintendo back in the 80s got in trouble for. Well, not trouble, but they got shit for, like. Patenting certain things that originally like any game company could do, and they were trying to Apple, same thing. Like when Steve Jobs came back, he wanted to make that you couldn't do cloned Macs anymore.
Right.
It's all like the same thing. It's all about copywriting and making sure. So I can see how Choose Your Own Adventure, because I don't think it was multiple companies making. I think it was all from
one.
The same.
It was a franchise. Yeah,
it was all from the same publisher.
I think the publishing company owned the rights to the concept, and they hired out the writing.
And
like,
the problem is Netflix, the way they advertised it, they advertised it as a
choose-your-own adventure.
They screwed up because they knew that would the lure was, hey, kid, hey, guys, remember when you grew up with the choose-your-own-adventure?
Yeah.
And they didn't have to. If they didn't say that in their marketing ever, they probably would have gotten sued.
Yeah, they could have just called it an interactive...
Yeah.
There's plenty of games like that. Yeah, like Going Home.
I mean, is it a strong lawsuit? I don't know.
Yeah.
But
they'll settle out of court. They'll give them some money.
Good for those Choose Your Own Adventure.
Know,
maybe they'll bring it back, and they could do a Netflix can publish it or something.
I should read those with my kid.
Well, Netflix is now in publishing. They actually do comic books.
Mm-hmm. All right, we gotta go. We got like 40 seconds.
Okay. Well, we started with The Running Man and we ended with Netflix lawsuit. So that seems like a good.
Yeah, that's actually not that far apart,
no,
to be honest
same,
with you.
Yeah, same thing. It's literally the same thing, you know.
All right. So some next time, we're going to start with. We'll start with Back to the Future, right?
Yeah, I mean, we should talk about that. That's a good. And then we'll probably just go off on tangents.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
There we go.
So, all right. Well, this is what? You still talking about that?
Still talking about that.
See you next time. Bye.
Bye.